How you doing, wrestling fans? And welcome to another edition of John Arizzi's Pro Wrestling Spotlight Podcast, the only wrestling podcast that brings you back 30 years with vintage audio featuring some of the biggest names in the business at that time. This episode is no exception, and we're going to go way back on the archives with some amazing guests. The Pro Wrestling Spotlight covered all the news stories and breaking developments that happened in real time, and we get to review all of that stuff, all that history right here on the show. And joining me, as always, my compadre, Mr. Topps Baseball. He is the man who is a diehard New York Mets fan like myself. He's a former editor, managing editor, or what do you call it, Bob? How do I say it again? I forgot. It is the managing editor.
Managing editor. I started as associate editor. Yeah, associate editor or assistant editor or something. Worked my way up the ranks in a couple of years. And like I said, Craig Peters was managing editor for, I think, two-thirds of my tenure. And the last part, I took over for him.
There you go.
And he was still with the company. He was doing WCW magazine at that point.
That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Bob Smith.
Yeah.
From New York.
How are you, John?
I'm in a crazy freaking mood today.
You are. We had a little kibitzing before we started to record.
Yes, we did.
And John is in...
I'm in a strange mood.
A unique mood.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's depression or if it's manic depression or if it's just... if I'm happy about anything. I don't know.
Well,
maybe because I got a nice date tomorrow night. I'm looking forward to it. So,
well, we're taping this show. What is it? 2 days after Election Day. It's the day that free agency starts in Major League Baseball.
Yes.
At 6 o'clock, right when we started taping. And that's enough. You know, you may see your favorite pitcher go flying to the Texas Rangers from what I'm hearing.
If it's meant to be, it's meant to be. We got Cookie Carrasco back for another year. We picked up his option today. The Mets did.
So. And who doesn't like cookies? I mean, really.
Hey, man, cookies great, man. And we got Edwin Diaz and Daniel Vogelback. Option was picked up. So, hey, the Mets are on a roll. What are we going to say? I think this would be a great offseason for them. And whether they bring back Nimmo, DeGrom, I don't know. I know we'll be good.
You know who else liked cookies? Daniel Vogelback. So it all ties in.
He ate a lot of cookies.
Yes, it all ties in beautifully. So
you know, when Daniel Vogelback would go shopping at the supermarket and the Girl Scout table would be there, you know, he'd buy like the s'mores and all of those tasty Girl Scout cookies and he'd gain 5 or 10 pounds. And
hey, thin mints, man.
And then strike out.
Thin mints.
Yeah. So anyway, let's talk wrestling. let's bring Dusty Rhodes on. Dusty, are you there?
Hey, you.
Dusty, how you doing? There you go. Marsh is wearing that Dusty Rhodes shirt. Would you get that at Wrestling Tees or where do you get that one?
Yeah, a while back I used to be subscribed to the mystery box. They did.
Yeah, you told us that you had about 400 wrestling t-shirts in your closet.
I'd have to count. The other thing is I've fluctuated in weight, so sometimes I use that as an excuse. Like, oh, this doesn't fit anymore. I need a new one. So.
Oh, you mean you have, like, when you're heavier, you have the bigger size, and then when you're lighter, you have a smaller size.
Yeah. So I got a bunch.
I used to do that a lot. I had like, clothes that would be from eras that would be decades and clothes that you never – and then by the time, you know, if you could fit into them again, I mean, then it's like, this shit is so old. You know, why would I even wear this?
It's not accurate anymore.
T-shirts always determine when you gain weight or lose it.
Yeah.
Hey, I couldn't fit in this before, or geez, I got to take a few off. It's always a T-shirt that tells.
Yeah,
because you wear the same underwear and everything else. You know, it's just.
I do have one shirt that I actually still have that I really like. It was a shirt that Tony Soprano wore on The Sopranos, James Gandolfini, and I got it, and it was 1990. It was like the first season of the show. It was like the 1999 or something. I bought it, or 2000 or whatever it was, and I still have it, and I wear it still. It's a like, nice it's shirt. Not, it's good for the fall.
It's not like one that looks like a shirt they wore, a replica. It's like the one that they wore while filming.
It was like the same designer. It was the same shirt that he actually wore on the show.
Yeah. No. That's awesome.
Yeah, and I have one that what's his name wore too, Bobby Bacala.
So, do you have a pork store to go hang out in front of, or anything like that?
In Tennessee?
No, I'm just, you know.
Well, barbecue place. I do have Porky's.
Okay, all right.
Porky's is here. Yeah, yeah.
Couple pizzerias.
That's a good idea, actually. Maybe I could put, set up a table and put my books for sale outside Porky's.
Or start a pork store. With a book.
Yeah. I kind of wish that the Power Twins were on right now, because I feel like they'd have a field day with this.
Oh, you know what they did today? I mean, because I posted those. I told you about the gas. I paid 29 cents a gallon for gas today.
Yeah.
And I posted it on Facebook because I was so proud of myself. I mean, $6.50 to fill up my Tahoe, 21 and a half gallons. And so I posted the picture. And, of course, one of the Powertons replied to it. And what did you spend in snacks? $50?
Subtle.
They are subtle. Not subtle, my friend.
No, they're not.
It's the new ones is what it is, yeah.
You know, they're so awfully unfunny that they're hilarious. I can't, you know what I'm saying? They're not funny at all, but they're a scream.
Yeah.
You know, it's magic. It is. It's magic in a way, because they make you want to hate them, but you love them.
Yeah. Well, they just got back from slaughtering a lot of animals wherever they went hunting. So welcome back, Power Twins, and thank you for the comment today on my Facebook page. It's greatly appreciated.
fantastic.
So anyway, guys, I mean, before we get into the festivities today, I do want to talk about our sponsor, and that's Curable. And I know that you gentlemen have both received your sample packages of product from curable.com, and they are a sponsor here, and they do have a very wide selection of CBD products that are designed. A lot of them are designed to help with pain relief, muscle relief. Those are the ones that I use. And they have partnered with local farmers to source the very best unique hemp genetics in order to provide you with products high in CBD. And now, Marsh, this is a subject that you know a lot of. And Bob, I know you just got your first package. So any initial comments from both of you gentlemen?
Well, this is going to sound goofy, but I'm not goofy. I'm not being goofy at all. I have a doggy. I just adopted a new doggy, 4-year-old.
What's the name?
Bella. I think it's a American Eskimo Pomeranian mix, which sounds funny, but she's a little ball of affection but a little hyper, you know? Mm-hmm. So at the day before we adopt Bella, the boxes came that I contacted you to let you know that the CBD products came. And we immediately, the next day, gave her one of the chewies. They have these little dog chewies. And not only does I think it works, she loves them. I don't know if it calms her down or what, but she asks for them. If she smells them. And that's a good start with a new dog. You never know what they're going to eat, you know?
Right.
And obviously, you don't want to overfeed a product like that. But as the occasional, you know,
it's a calming
kind
effect.
Of a tweet. It's a calming effect, and it's just what we need. Let me tell you right now. Pee on the carpet. Here we go.
That comes part and parcel with young little puppies that come
but
into the
that's
household.
An unexpected thing. I didn't even know they made pet products, but they make a bunch of pet products. If you go to their website and check it out, it's kind of amazing. And they make, Marsh and I were talking before the show, such a varied selection of products. For various either maladies or just general helpful.
Yeah. You know, stress relief.
Yeah.
Calming effects. CBD has all of these unique qualities about it. And Marsha, I think you're actually drinking a cup of Curable tea.
I'm having even the antioxidant tea. So it's like, I mean, it's not because there's another one I have that's like you said, for calming or relaxation or something like that. But this one's got spearmint in it along with the CBD. And so it's meant as an antioxidant. So I'm having that right now. Before I even filmed, I had put some of the hand salve on, the muscle cream. I left it over there. I'd hold it up too. But I work a lot of physical side gigs. Like I do stagehand work. And a couple weeks ago, I did one. And I think I banged my finger because my pinky had been hurting for a couple weeks. And I didn't think anything of it. And finally, I was like, why am I walking by this salve and at least not putting it on? And I put it on last night. And the pain and swelling went down right away. Like it was awesome. So I'm really pleased with it.
A lot of great products that they have. And if you go to curable.com, that's KURIBL.com, you could take 20% off your order with the promo code PWS. I checked the code out earlier today. It works fine. So that 20% gets taken off your order, and you can just go there to curable.com and check out the products you need. I use it primarily for the pain relief with my neck, with my back, with my knees at 65 years old. And, you know, it's keeping me kind of pain-free in the evenings, which I really need that stuff. And but anyway, I mean, I would highly recommend it. Kurt Angle uses it. Medusa does in the wrestling business. There's probably more to come. It's a great way to manage pain. I'm happy you guys got your packages, and we want to thank Tim again over at curable.com for providing that to us. And if you have some pain to manage in your life, or you want to just kind of ease the stress like everybody goes through right now, curable.com is the place to go. Curable.com, K-U-R-I-B-L.com. Use that promo code.
I'm going to have some of that tea when I get home. I'm telling you right now.
Good idea.
I've had a tough week. I'm making a beeline for the cabinet. I'm telling you.
There you go. Yes, please. I think you should do that.
Absolutely.
But Marsh, everything else is good with you. You're doing a great job. I know you put a lot of work into the Davey Boy Smith interview that is now ready and released for all of our people who, not just for patrons, which we're going to give you that special video, but also for the general public. It's going out there, and we're going to promote it heavily. It's that first shoot interview that Davey Boy did after he left the World Wrestling Federation. And a lot of work you put into it. And my goodness, thank you so much for spending all that time on that video. I think people are going to love it.
Yeah, it was a lot of work, a lot more than I anticipated. But just listening to it over and over again, it is pretty remarkable how open he does get with a lot of that stuff, especially like his first shoot interview after leaving. This was right after he left, right after SummerSlam 92. Like,
yeah, and it's fully unedited. It's just start to finish, no edits. It's the complete interview.
Absolutely, and complete. I even kept your countdown, and I even kept in the after interview where you're getting him to cut you a promo. Like, just it's as unedited as it gets. Like, I think it's awesome. Cool. Great peek.
Excellent. Well, I thank you so much, and you'll be on standby, of course, as always, in case we screw it up here and make a mistake and a historical fact or a little tidbit that you want to throw in. We always have you there watching us. Marsh is watching at all times.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
This and does Bob, a hell of a job. And by the way, folks, our podcast listeners, if you're so inclined, give the YouTube a try. I mean, it's looks great. It sounds awesome. We're really thrilled with the response we've gotten to it. And every time I look at it, my eyes bug out because I'm like, wow, Marsh is doing a job on that thing.
Yeah, you got a lot of great, and not just the shows, of course, but there's over 155 different uploads of video and historic video and live stuff. It's just really good. So check it out, youtube.com/ Pro Wrestling Spotlight. And I want to thank all our patrons again. It's just, you know, we have a core group of fans that love what we do. And we want to thank you for that. Go to patreon.com/JohnArezzi, $5 a month, get you in the door, and you can explore any of the other levels that we have there for additional content, perks, bonuses, whatever. But today, Bob, we're going to go way back, December 19th, 1992. This will be show number 184 from the Pro Wrestling Spotlight, or at this time, the Pro Wrestling This Week archives. So we'll cover Donnie Leibel's news capsule. We'll take a look back at some of the shows, highlights that we did from the past, because this was around Christmas time. Mm-hmm. So this wasn't actually even a live show.
But this is our current show. This is episode 54. It originally was 184, your 184th broadcast as a pro wrestling guy. And I'll tell you what, this was kind of a departure because it was not often that you did a tape show because you were away doing a signing, autograph signing with Bruno Sammartino.
Yeah. The Stromboli eating contest, I think. No.
tell me what that was.
I think it was a joke. I think I made a joke. I was in probably the same type of mood that I am right now, that I just said things because I have the Tourette's, you know.
All right. I just think you're being, as they say in the intellectual world, it's sardonic.
Sometimes I have no filter, and it just whatever I think of comes out of my mouth and gets me in trouble. And I think that's what I did when I said he was in town for a Stromboli eating contest on the show. But it was actually a signing. It was actually an autograph signing, and I was there and had a table. And so I was not in the studio. So we recorded this, and we put highlights in. And so that's what the fans are going to get.
You know, in your day, in our day...
It was your day too, my friend.
Yes, I know. I'm making fun of myself. Trust me. But in our day, your autograph shows were nothing like you saw in the wrestler film. People lined up.
No.
Right? That's people crazy. Lined up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Massive crowds at some of these events. I mean, a couple that I attended, I remember I think I went to one of yours. I don't remember which one it was because I knew the guy who was – I didn't get an autograph or anything, but I actually knew the wrestler and I knew you, so I wanted to stop by. And then I went to one with Hacksaw Duggan in Manhattan. I don't know where he was signing. Oh, he was signing for some record chain or something. I think there
was wasn't a lumber company.
No, I don't know.
You get like a 2x4.
No, it was some kind of a retailer. And I stood line like everybody else. And he didn't know I worked for PWI, and I had to take a picture of him. It ended up on the cover of one of our magazines because it was like we didn't have access to get close to these guys, but here I did. So I dressed like a slob, which is really no reach. And I took the picture. I got in the nicest conversation with him. I told him I was from upstate, and he said, "Yeah, I'm Glenford Falls. How often do you get up there?" I go, "Twice a year." He goes, "Yeah, me too." And he was just the nicest guy, and I'm very happy to hear of his good health in recent
years.
But anyway, what I'm trying to say, though, is that your autograph shows really well attended. All your regular listeners came out, and it must have been fun to do this and a nice break from the stress of the radio show.
Yeah, I still like doing those things. I still love to interact with the fans and see the fans and meet them, and the ones that I got to know, and the ones that maybe only went to a couple of them. It was always a pleasure for me to do that, and it was kind of but the stress level was always there in a way, because you always wanted, if you were booking an autograph show, you wanted to make sure that the sponsor or the retailer or whoever was bringing that wrestler in did well. So I always worried about, is there going to be enough people showing up? Is it going to be a success? And I have to say that almost every one of them always drew people. Mm-hmm. So I was always satisfied at the end of these events.
Yeah. And again, another oxymoron of the radio show, struggled to stay on the air, changing stations, la-di-da. But when you did a live event or a live broadcast, everybody came out. Yeah. Everybody came out in droves. I'm not making this up. These were big deals.
They were affordable, too. It wasn't like I gouged anyone. Or sometimes autographs are free. Sometimes they had to pay a little bit of money. But I tried to keep the prices really, really cost effective.
But at the conventions, too. I mean, I thought your conventions, you almost gave the tickets away for those.
Almost.
Yeah. I mean, but you were hoping to attract as many people as you could. And the economy was bad back then. Mm-hmm. It's like it is right now.
Yeah. It was not a good economy back in the early 90s.
No, absolutely not. But you know what was good in the early 90s?
What, Bob?
Don Liable.
Oh, he's always good.
He's a bug, I tell you. He's a bug.
He is a bug. What a great guy.
Yeah, and he is the walking, living, breathing wrestling encyclopedia, as we always refer to him. And we call this the time capsule because we're going to go back 30 years.
Yes.
Find out the hot news. And there's some real juicy stuff on this one.
Yeah, he's got a full report.
You want to go to it?
Yes.
Let's go.
Morning, everybody, and welcome. Now, the capsule starts off, of course, with the World Wrestling Federation taking center spotlight. Nails has been fired by the World Wrestling Federation. Now, reports have it that after a disagreement with WWF President Vince McMahon Jr. at this past week's TV tapings, Nails landed a couple of punches on his boss, and I don't mean the big boss man, thus the dismissal. Now, no other details are available at this time, so we'll keep in touch with that one. Also, this past Monday in Green Bay and on Tuesday in Milwaukee, the WWF held its television tapings and several new faces debuted. As was expected, the Steiner brothers, Rick and Scott, were on hand. Their first night of matches in Green Bay, reports have it, the brothers received a lukewarm response from the audience. But in Milwaukee, the following night, they reportedly were greeted with a little more enthusiasm from the fans. Johnny Boy Smith, who last wrestled out of Calgary, Canada, saw ring duty as well. Now, Smith formerly teamed with the Dynamite Kid. Three notable angles were shot by the promotion. First, Razor Ramon attacked Owen Hart in what is believed to hopefully increase interest in Ramon's upcoming match with Bret Hart for the WWF Championship on the Royal Rumble card next month. Now, this is the first time that Owen and Bret, being brothers, is turning into a headline item by the WWF brass. And Doink the Clown finally had his first match before defeating Virgil. It was Crush who fell victim to Doink's heel pranks. Now, when extending a hand in friendship to Crush, when accepted, you guessed it, the old rubber hand trick was played out. Doink knocked the big Hawaiian out, and he had to be stretchered from ringside. The Kamala turn watch is still on. Once again, Harvey Whippleman and Kimchi slapped the Ugandan, with Reverend Slick coming on the scene, taking interest in him, of course, to change his ways for the better. Add these contests to the Royal Rumble. According to the Pro Wrestling Torch, it'll be Bam Bam Bigelow opposing the Big Boss Man. Terry Taylor will tangle with Max Moon. And as we said last week, Shawn Michaels puts his Intercontinental title strap on the line against his former partner Marty Jannetty. And the Steiners are booked against the Beverly Brothers. Well, turning to World Championship Wrestling news, lots happening there as well. Now more than ever, Paulie Dangerously's days with WCW appear to be coming to an end. The boiling point is about to be reached as WCW Vice President Bill Watts has booked Dangerously for two matches with Medusa Michelli in the weeks ahead, and Paulie has made it known he has no intentions to participate in either, claiming he has a contract with the company as an announcer and not a wrestler. Look for the collision between both sides within the next week, as early as possible next week. Former wrestler Greg Gagne has joined the staff of World Championship Wrestling. Gagne, a several-time American Wrestling Association tag champ, is expected to serve in a creative aspect for WCW VP Bill Watts' decision-making team. There's a new United States Wrestling Association unified heavyweight titleist. When TV viewers were watching Jerry the King Lawler debut on December 7th during the WWF's primetime show, taped earlier, live and in person in Memphis' Mid-South Coliseum, Coco Beware applied the outlawed pile driver on the King to strip him of the championship. A couple interesting promotional promises have been made that are worth watching. The Global Wrestling Federation is considering an old-timers night in Dallas' Sportatorium. And Chicago-based Windy City Wrestling promoter Sam DeCiro announced at a recent live event that he has a match between former tag partners Dusty Rhodes and Dick Murdoch inked for May. As a team, they were billed as the Outlaws. Finally, from the scrapbook files this week in pro wrestling in 1978, 14 years ago, in Bakersfield, California, Eddie Mansfield came away a winner over the Great Goliath in a cage match. Lord Jonathan Boyd successfully defended his Northwest heavyweight title in Portland, Oregon by pinning Roddy Piper. And in Memphis, that was the site for Robert Gibson and Tommy Gilbert scoring a victory over Jimmy Valiant and Wayne Ferris, of course, in his pre-honky-tonk days. For pro wrestling this week, I'm Don Leibel reporting.
Nails. Kevin Kelly in the AWA shows up in a big orange prison outfit, beats the living tar out of the Big Boss Man with a nightstick in an angle that ran on Saturday mornings that was super violent and probably felt like it ran for 45 minutes. Boy, yeah. Did that not work. It didn't work from the word go. Nails didn't work.
No, it was not, but you know, the guy was menacing looking. He did look really, he looked like a psychotic in a lot of ways.
Oh, sure he did. And they gave this super modulated voice. It wasn't really his voice. They That's right. doctored his voice on interviews and stuff like that.
Yeah, they did, like a horror movie in a lot of ways. But that heat between him and McMahon was festering for a while. And of course, later on, when McMahon was on trial, by the federal government in 1994, one of the witnesses against Vince was Nails. That was, there's a lot of speculation on what was going on between them, what the heat was all about. There are some things that we can't even repeat on the show that were allegations or innuendo. But yeah, that was an ugly one. And the fact that they had come to blows as a shoot backstage was pretty interesting. You know, this report by Donnie, there was a lot of meat here, not just an Nails thing, but the Steiner brothers debuting in the WWF, Doink the Clown or Matt Bourne having his first match. And the Paul Lee stuff too, which we're going to get to on future episodes, because Donnie was right on the money Paul E's time was coming to a rapid end with Bill Watts and WCW, and he gets terminated the week of January, the week before January 16th, because we're going to bring him on January the 16th's show. And that topic is Paulie getting fired. So that's something for us to all look forward to when we play that show. And yeah, it was a good, very, very packed report. And once again, want to mention to everybody, this was a tape show. It wasn't a live show. So there's no callers. And then we go back and we start really looking back at some of the biggest news stories in 1992.
Can I add one more thing from Donnie's report?
Sure.
We were falling off our chairs at the PWI offices when it was announced that Greg Gagne was joining WCW.
Yeah.
Who was, and when people were complaining that Bill Watts was too old school, who did they bring in but Greg Gagne, who worked for the biggest old school promoter you could ever think of?
Yeah.
I thought he did well there. I thought the stuff that I knew that he was behind was some pretty good old school, good action bouts. You know, you'd expect that from Greg Gagne. But he was a little more modern than his father was, I think. I think in terms of his sensibility about, he saw the business changing, I think, a little more than Vern did. That's for sure. How did you react?
And he had a full head of hair too.
Well, that's, yeah, he did. Okay. Well, do you remember this? Did Greg Gagne in the WCW? To be honest with you,
I didn't remember too much about it. I remember when the announcement was made and I thought it was odd because I didn't think he was a good fit, especially for the reasons that you mentioned. But no, I don't remember that much about what he was booking or how he was helping behind the scenes.
I just remember sitting at my desk going, that feels funny.
Yeah.
What are they doing? I mean, people wanted it to be more modern or flashy like WWF, but here you've got Eric Watts, good grief, Bill Watts and Greg Gagne. I mean, those are two. That's the very definition of old school wrestling, right there.
That's correct.
What can I tell you? Those were weird times in 1991, 1992.
Oh, it was a crazy year. It was a crazy year.
Well, anyway, as you were saying, John, this is our Christmas show, and I look back. And the first thing we're going to look back at is we're going to touch again on an interview, which I thought was awesome. With, you mentioned him before, Wayne Ferris, the Honky Tonk Man.
Yes. Yeah, we certainly have this look back, and Honky Tonk Man was a part of it. But, for everybody out there who wants to hear this complete show, it's on patreon.com/JohnArezzi, because other things that we go over, we have the Christmas messages, because we're getting closer to Christmas, the week before Christmas. So Christmas messages from Johnny Valiant, British Bulldog, a lot of ads, the LNS comic stuff. Farmingdale Lanes were really heavily promoting the appearance of Davey Boy Smith and Jim the Anvil Neidhart. That would be the day after Christmas. And then, the first part of this before we got to the Honky Tonk Man interview was the setup and the review of the David Schultz and Billy Superstar Graham interview that took place January 5th, 1992, our first show at WEVD at the time. And that was explosive. So we're not going to play any clips from that one. But if you want to hear that that interview, I mean, just go to the Patreon and hear it. Or you could go back in the archives because we did play it. And if you're a patron member, you could hear it. And if you're a listener to the podcast, just go back to that January 5th, 1992 episode. And you will hear some explosive stuff that comes out of the mouths of both Billy Graham and Dr. D. David Schultz.
Man, that's an understatement. That may have been, in fact, something that particular show was like, you and I had done a show on that one. That particular show was just about as fiery and revealing as any show you ever did during your original run as a radio host. I mean, it was explosive stuff. I mean, all the sheets were like all over I know that was
and the New York Post
backstage story
on it, a feature on it.
Yeah,
Muchnick went to town on that one.
Yeah,
and that's what really predicated all these other national TV appearances that I was making, and it kind of really segued and led into the Donahue show where I had, you know, all of these people in the studio. I mean, it's just really, this was kind of the beginning of that scandal-riddled early part of 1992, where the first quarter of 92 was so earth-shattering and so filled with scandals and bad national press for the wrestling business. And also, that was during the time I was working with Russo, with Vince Russo, and that really caused our split up as well in March of 92. So, yeah, if you want to go back in history and kind of relive the catalyst for a lot of that stuff was that David Schultz and Billy Graham interview that you can hear in the complete show, which is on Patreon.
Yeah, by all means, check that out and check out all the shows from that scandal era. I mean, the one where you have everybody in the world in the studio at the same time, Bruno Sammartino and Meltzer and on and on and on. The list went.
Barry O.
It just a high watermark for the show that still managed to make your stomach churn, right? I mean,
absolutely.
You weren't here to bash the business. That's the misconception everybody had. You weren't here to put a downer on the business. You were here to just, it was the 800-pound gorilla in the room. You had to report it.
We were all trying to find out what happened. And there was only one side being talked about because the company that was allegedly involved in all of these scandals would never give their viewpoint until Donnie. That's when Vince came on.
That's right. But as we mentioned, another guy who opened right up for you was Wayne Ferris, the Honky Tonk Man, in a really fun interview. It covered so many different topics, John.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, this was part of when I was on the Wrestling Insiders, and some of that show was blacked out and not aired in New York on WEVD. But we have this interview with him today, and I think people will really enjoy it because he gets really inside with us as well.
Yeah, and our little clip here has been beautifully sweetened by our Marsh, our friend, because the original broadcast had a little bit of interstational fuzziness to it.
Intergalactic interference. Yes,
noise. And he did a great job sweetening this, so I'm anxious to hear it again because this is going to be fun with the Honky Tonk Man.
What we're going to play right now for you is an interview that you've never heard before, the fans here in the New York market as well. This interview was blacked out here in the New York market. A couple of weeks during the summer, I hosted a national radio talk show called The Wrestling Insiders. I had the Honky Tonk Man as one of my guests, and he talks about why he was banished from the WWF, in his opinion, some conspiracies in his mind that went on in that company, why he left there, and also talked about... ironically, the Jerry Lawler situation in the USWA just then starting to get in bed with the WWF, so to speak. So without further ado, here's the Honky Tonk Man from the Wrestling Insiders program from the summer.
Back with the Wrestling Insiders and our special guest, the Honky Tonk Man. Honky, you there?
Yes, yes. You know, John, I didn't get to finish the story a while ago about the conspiracy when I went over to the television department. And it's my belief, and I'll probably go to my last breath of air that I breathe on this earth, I'll believe that either Bobby Heenan, Pat Patterson, or Bruce Pritchard, or all three of them, or a combination of the three, had something to do with the Honky Tonk Man leaving the WWF. Bruce Pritchard was in charge of me. He was in charge of booking me for the TV, in charge of the tickets. So, you know, a lot of the weight swings to him. Bobby Heenan does not really want anybody to get close to Vince or get a grip in that TV over there because that's his little baby over there that he takes care of, and he'll do anything to protect himself there. If you don't believe me, ask Russ's Johnny Valiant. And why I say Pat Patterson is because Patterson never, ever liked me, and they all knew that if I didn't get my transportation, then the Honky Tonk Man won't show up. It's like doing your show tonight, John. If somebody hadn't called me, told me about it, what time everything was, you'd never hear from me. And they knew that. They knew that if I didn't have my tickets, Honky Tonk Man wouldn't show up. So that's how they did it to me.
Of course, Pritchard is gone now. He was Brother Love there. And
right.
Heenan's still a mainstay. And Pat Patterson gone because of all the sex scandals that took place earlier this year. A lot of people say Patterson is still has his hand in there somewhere behind the scenes. Any thoughts on that?
Well, my own personal opinion is, of course. And yeah. I think we're all entitled to our opinion. you know, I'm not quoting it or saying it's a fact, but I would have to, if I had to stick my neck out there and venture to say something in my own personal opinion, I would have to say that Pat Patterson is still around somewhere in some form or shape in the WWF getting some kind of paycheck.
Mm-hmm. He said a lot more in that interview too, John. He was just open like a book, man. He was just letting it out.
He was one of those guys that I always loved bringing on the show because he had no filter. He would just say what was in his head and give his thoughts and opinions. And that was always it was always fun to bring him on because he was always very true to his insider comments, beliefs, and it always made entertaining radio.
That's for sure. And like you say, it's all available on the Patreon page and all of his appearances there. And he was on several, right? Several shows.
Yeah. He obviously in the shows of the future, we haven't posted yet. And I think he comes back for a few more times, but kind of ironic on that interview as well, because he talked so much about Lawler and now, of course, Lawler working with the WWF then. And so good stuff from Honky Tonk Man for sure. And then we had another commercial break after that. Christmas messages from Terry Funk. I talk about the fact that I was at the Bruno appearance. So this was a tape show, so don't call in. The appearance was at St. Mary in the Snow.
Wait.
I think it was St. Mary of the Snow.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say of the Snow. Either that or it was snowing out. Which was it? No, I think it's called St. Mary of the Snow. It's a church, right?
Yes, it is in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. Right. And then we promoted the autograph session at the bowling alleys, two bowling alleys, actually, Comac Lanes, Farmingdale Lanes, with Davey Boy Smith and Jim the Anvil Neidhart. And then we go to something, another little clip that we pulled from the archives on this show from 30 years ago.
From that bastion of entertainment, ladies and gentlemen, Scores.
Yes. Oh, I love Scores.
In New York City. Oh, you do? Do you?
I did. Yeah. Back then. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was, you're right. When this show was taped, Scores was kind of getting started. They were in their initial stages, as it were. And
it was
then
an entertaining place.
A few years later, they just doggone exploded, and it was a hot ticket in New York City every night of the week for a myriad of reasons, and I think you all know what those reasons are.
They had great steaks.
Yep. Oh, no, the calamari, man. The calamari.
I'm actually serious about the food.
The food
good.
Was tremendous. Oh, the calamari was – I had a calamari plate there. I couldn't stop eating. It was awesome. And, of course,
The eye candy was better.
The entertainment, folks. The entertainment.
Yes.
Famous female entertainers. And I will say this for Scores. They had famous dancers there. I mean, people that you saw in Playboy and Penthouse and R-rated movies and, you know, just actresses and ran the gamut. International stars in that genre, as it were. And they were a massive success in New York City at this time. But the first one of the early massive successes was when you got in there with all of these stars. Look at this list of people you brought for a very, how do I put this? Unique show. This was a unique live event with Missy Hyatt and Jason Hervey, then wrestling's fun couple of the time, right?
Oh,
the Lightning Kid starting his career with a bang, Sean Waltman, who fans later know as the 1-2-3 Kid, and Alex Marvez, who everybody knows from AEW now, but back then was really a crusading wrestling journalist in the newspaper world.
Yeah, and he had his own bulletin that he was coming out with. Alex, definitely a great journalist at the time. And, of course, with Lightning Kid, his very first appearance on the show, and Missy and Jason just causing havoc and saying all kinds of nonsense. It was a time where Scores was promoting itself as a sports bar as well before all the good stuff started happening there. So we do have some pretty entertaining clip from that live remote.
Now, the pro wrestling spotlight and pro wrestling this week, we're not all serious news. We have a lot of fun on occasion here at the program as well. We're going to play a segment now that took place earlier this summer when we were on WEVD, a live remote broadcast from Score Sports Bar in Manhattan, when we had Missy Hyatt, Jason Hervey from the 1D Years, the Lightning Kid was also present, Alex Marvez of then the Three Count Newsletter and the Miami Herald. And in this particular segment that we're going to play for you, we brought up woman's name, and Missy Hyatt just had a total lack of recall when it recalls to her relationship with woman in NWA WCW. We talked about a couple other things. That was right before she was scheduled to take on Medusa in that big bikini contest. You'll get a couple of laughs out of this segment right now.
Reservations. That's our next bus trip Sunday afternoon, June 28th. Get Missy.
And for a dollar, women will ride with you to Connecticut or wherever.
I'm talking about her in a second. Is there like a situation there, a friendly competition, a little bit jealousy? Did you get along with her when she was with WCW?
I don't even. When was she with WCW?
I just connected her.
When was she there?
The woman you're talking about.
I don't even remember that. Was she really there?
Are you kidding?
Huh?
Can you take her shopping at the Steiners? Robin Green.
Really? I don't even remember that.
Typical Seminole, may I add.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
I don't recall. I plead no contest.
Okay. No contest. You were her at Rickside when the Steiners lost the title to Doom or something. When there was a...
Okay.
Number to call, 212-477-5610. Any questions for anybody in here, for any of our guests? Go right ahead.
Are you intimidated by Medusa's martial arts ability?
Question for our listeners listening on the radio. Are you intimidated by Medusa's martial arts ability?
No. Well, I mean, why should I? I mean, I'm not going to let her get close enough to touch me or anything like that. She's going to lose the bikini contest, and she's probably going to go off and cry somewhere if she can cry some manly tears.
Okay, any other questions from the folks here at Scores? Yes.
Are you crazy? Would you get in the ring with Medusa?
Yeah.
I tell you, there's a group of guys over here that have not had dates in like 10 years because they're like whooping up for Medusa over here. No, there's no way I would get in the ring with her.
Ask Gordon Cesari about getting into a conflict with Medusa, right?
Yeah, where is he? Is he out of the hospital?
He was at the deal today at the bowling alley.
Was he?
Yeah.
So he was out of the hospital. He was in that guy that was like in a neck brace and in a wheelchair and everything, wasn't he?
No.
Okay.
Anybody else in here before we go back to the phones? Yes. I'm just going to repeat
for
our listeners at home. How many years do you plan on staying wrestling before you hang it up?
Well, I've been in almost 7, I say maybe a couple of more, and then it's time to just hang out in Hollywood with my babe, Jason, and
well, you guys are trying to
hang out.
You're trying to do some stuff out in Hollywood. Now, this past Friday, before you came in, you did something for Circus of the Stars, I understand, right?
Well, yeah, I tried out for Circus of the Network Stars. I had to get up and swing on a trapeze. So, yeah, it was kind of scary. I don't know if you people heard that, but in case there's some kid listeners, never mind. But no, yeah, I would like to do that. I would like to do like that and just some other things.
And as we talked about on the Christmas show, someone asked about maybe a possible partner Wonder Years. Anything like that happening?
Yeah, I wish.
Missy, you know you can have a part on there anytime you want.
Oh, well, thank you, sweetie.
You're welcome. Let's go.
Missy Hyatt still waiting for that appearance on the 1D Years as of today's date, December 19th.
I wonder why she never was on the show. I mean, why not?
Why wouldn't she be on it?
Yeah. Or did she?
Maybe casting didn't see a good fit for her.
Yeah.
That was a family show, Bob.
Apparently she was a good fit for Jason Hervey.
For a while.
Yeah. Quite the item.
Quite the item, yes. They were a very interesting couple because he was a, you know, short in stature.
Yes.
And she was...
that's probably what... Statuesque. Taller. It's probably why she never got casted. It wouldn't have worked as a love thing, I don't think.
Oh, absolutely
funny. It's
not.
Funny. They were lovers in real life, but that wouldn't have worked. yeah. in the and theme was, of the show, which was
and he was playing a high school. He was playing a high school kid.
Yeah,
obviously, unless they put her in the role as a teacher, and then it could have been some really good, interesting.
Oh, hot for teacher episode that would work. Yeah, like a Van Halen video. Yeah,
I should have been casting.
It's more blast from the past, fans. The 1988 Hot for Teacher Van Halen song. So
exactly, that was always one of my favorites. Anyway, as we continue on with our look back on this episode of Pro Wrestling Spotlight that aired on December the 19th, 1992, we also start playing some of the highlights of some of our early and favorite Cactus Jack episodes. So in this particular segment that we're going to play, I believe it was right around the time where I took the elbow from Cactus, and it was also clips that talked about his surprise call-in after Beach Blast 92. We also played clips of his very first appearance on the show. So there was a lot of different Captain Jack, or, you know.
Get your high tonight.
I know. That was one of my favorite songs. But yeah, Cactus was in this, and then we had the clip of what happened in Massapequa High School at Plainridge High School, I believe it was in Massapequa. When I interfered in Cactus's match, I get the big elbow. And then on the show the following Sunday was Cactus himself with Paulie Dangerously, and Paulie starts making fun of the residents of that town.
Did you know that Massapequa, and this is a geographical fact, is the highest point in Long Island?
Really?
And therefore, the toxic winds from New Jersey can actually hit that town with having to descend and break up due to the atmosphere. And since the toxic winds come over, I think it comes over the Verrazano Bridge, and it comes over through Staten Island and then hits Long Island, they're just brain dead.
You mean that smell when you pass by Staten Island may be responsible for
it? Yeah, it's not a paper mill. It's from Jersey.
Oh.
So it's normal for those people to just sit there with their tongue scraping on the floor.
Oh.
You shouldn't get upset at them. They're brain dead. It's a town filled with Muhammad Ali's.
No, it's, well, you know what? I mean, it's been something of a revelation. I mean, here I am. John said that the tension was in the air at the autograph show, but I said I'd be there, and I was.
And I appreciate that.
But I really, when I woke up this morning, John, I don't think I'd forgotten about you. Like I said, I got to suffer the rest of my life. Every time I kiss my beautiful wife, I got to think of you.
That's sickening.
That's the kind of thing that makes men. I mean, there may not be no children because of you, John.
I got a suggestion for you, Jack.
What, Paul?
I would break up with her, take the ring back, leave, and come back later on in the day and re-propose. And then you don't have to think of this guy anymore. And plus, absence makes the heart grow fonder. So you might even appreciate her more the second time around.
Everyone has to think of John.
You won't have to think of John anymore.
That's something to think about.
Sunny Beach is calling in here.
I guess. Folks, I don't want to sound like a commercial. This show, this best of where they pulled these Cactus clips, we all know what a great hardcore wrestler, but these tracks are comedy gold, right, John? I mean, this is some of the funniest stuff in the history of your brand, including his Munsters versus Adams Family rant that is legendary in the halls of wrestling radio. I rest my case.
It is, and I always loved it, and those were, you know, shows that were too few and far between when I actually had Cactus and Paulie together. I mean, the chemistry and the hilarity, some of my favorite moments all time on Pro Wrestling Spotlight.
Can you imagine if somebody at WCW had been bright enough to put them together?
Oof. Yeah.
Right? Boom, it just hit me just now. Imagine that.
That would have been amazing.
That would have been.
Yeah.
The monster and the millionaire.
The monster and the millionaire.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, my God. Jeez, I should have booked.
You should have been a booker, Bob.
I should have been a booker.
That could be the name of it.
Could have been a contender.
Could be your book.
Yeah. I should have been a booker. Yeah. Should have been a lot of things, but that's another story. And finally, it's a Christmas party to remember, and more Paul Ehrich. Huh?
Yeah, this one is interesting. This was the 1989 Pro Wrestling Spotlight Christmas Party. It was the very first Christmas party that we had. And I had it at the West End Cafe in Hicksville. Ralph was the proprietor, just a burly guy named Ralph. And it was a local pub. It was a local bar. It was actually up the block, the same block as where I had my music management office. And when I started the Pro Wrestling Spotlight in 89, I went to Ralph and I was like, listen, we want to do a Christmas party. Can we do it at your place? And he said, yes. And that's where we did our party. And we invited Paulie. Paulie was unceremoniously late. He said he got stuck in traffic. But the most ironic and hilarious thing was that WNYG had no remote equipment available there. I mean, they rarely had anything that was technically up to par. So our broadcast facility was a payphone calling to WNYG. So I'd hold the payphone in my hand, and then I'd interview Paulie and some of the listeners there with the payphone rather than a microphone. So that was always – that was very – that's a little behind-the-scenes stuff. But this clip here – we were ready to go off the air. Paulie was late. He wanted to stay on longer. And there was a show that was a paid program coming up next that I called The Psychic Gourmet. It was a show with a chef and a psychic together. We almost get thrown off the air because Paulie goes off on it. So, yeah, to end up our look back at the December 19th, 1992 show, where we go all the way back to 1989, we finish up with a really classic clip.
I guess we're in the Christmas spirit about our first Christmas here doing this program. We had a live remote at a sports bar in Hicksville, and Paulie Dangerously was there with us. We're going to play the ending moments of that live remote where we almost got thrown off the air, and I think you'll enjoy this. So check it out right now. Paulie Dangerously at our 1989 Pro Wrestling Christmas Party.
What happened?
Well, it's good observations there. It's definitely going to be some great wrestling upcoming into the decade of 1990. You have great wrestlers that are emerging. Also, one last thing.
Great managers.
Of course, great managers. And we're sitting next to one of the best wrestling managers in the history of the sport right over here, right next to me.
Me?
Of course, I'm giving you a compliment, Paul. That doesn't happen very
much. You mean me?
Yes, I do.
Oh, I agree then. Okay.
All right. What we want to do is we want to thank you.
How you doing on Nutrisystem?
Oh, can you tell? Doing pretty good.
You're supposed to gain or lose.
All right, that's about it here at the Pro Wrestling Spotlight now.
Are we going off the air now?
Yeah, we have about another 2 minutes to go.
Well, how come we don't go on until 7?
Say what?
How come we're not staying on until 7?
Well, we're not doing that till the first of the year, Paul.
What, you mean, we used to be 2 hours.
Yes, we did.
How come we're not 2 hours tonight?
See, your financial backers backed off of the show and we lost an hour.
So what's going to now be on from 6 to 7?
I think it's the Psychic Gourmet Show or something.
That sucks. I mean, the Psychic Gourmet.
It's a restaurant review with a psychic.
Well, if the gourmet is so psychic, then just, you know, you'll know how long to put it in the microwave. Let her transport her own little wave out to all her audience, and we'll stay on the air. As a matter of fact, I don't think we should leave the air. Let's stay on right now.
Well, that's not up to us, though.
Who's it up to?
Muriel Hornstein, the owner of the station.
Let's get him on the phone. What's his number?
They're at their NYG Christmas party right now.
Well, where is that?
East Meadow.
Let's call him.
Well, if I call him, we're off the air.
Well,
why don't we all go down there and protest?
Why don't we run a commercial and call him?
All right. Why don't we do that?
Why don't we run a commercial and call him?
All right. What we're going to do is this. No, actually, what we're going to do, we got to go off the air, actually.
We're not going off the air. We're staying on the air.
We can't do it.
Do you know the number to call the Psychic Gourmet?
I have no idea.
Live show?
Yes, it is.
Let's call the Psychic Gourmet.
There they are. They're at the station right now.
Let's inundate the Psychic Gourmet and just ruin that show.
We can't do that, Paul.
Let's call the Psychic Gourmet and they'll say, hello, would you like to make it to the capital?
Yeah, and Jack Luger going to beat Rick Flair. That's what I want to know. How long did Jack Luger have to stick Rick Flair in the microwave to beat him? All right, that's what we're going to do.
661-1440, right?
That's the number,
that's
yes.
All the wrestling fans need to call.
All right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We want to thank everybody here at the Pro Wrestling Spotlight for this great Christmas party.
I need to put David in the microwave.
At the Western Cafe in Hicksville, I want to thank, first of all, Paulie Dangerously for coming here from Scarsdale. David from the Power Twins, Broadway Sonny Blaze. I know you know.
Let's ask you, like, if we put minoxidil in with soup and Hulk Hogan drinks it, can he grow the hair back on his head?
I doubt it.
These are the kind of things that we need to ask, man.
We can continue this on Christmas Eve, I guess, which will be next Sunday here at the Pro Wrestling Spotlight. What we're going to do is...
if we remove the hormones from a monkey and throw it in with some celery and some carrots and mishmash it with some beef stew, can I grow up to be as big as the Ultimate Warrior? These are the kind of questions I want to ask.
Well, those are the questions that should be answered. And
these are the questions we need to call up 661-1440 and ask right now.
So we're done the next program, then.
That's
what
right.
That's
right.
What we'll do.
You want to be a psychic gourmet? Psychic this, man.
That's gonna about wrap it up here from the Pro Wrestling Spotlight Christmas Party. We're gonna see you next week, Christmas Eve, and we'll be broadcasting.
Wait, how are we gonna see him if we're on the radio?
We're gonna hear you.
Oh, I got it. They're psychic. Yeah.
We'll be doing the best of the Pro Wrestling Spotlight for the next 2 weeks, right at...
best of the Pro Wrestling Spotlight?
Yeah, you'll dominate the show.
Best of the CBS News with Dan Rather?
That's right, Paul.
How can you do the best of a news show?
I don't know.
The best of the news.
Hey, John.
Well, we'll have interviews, of course, next week with Terry Funk, Paulie Dangerously, Bruno Sammartino, and of course...
That ought to be an interesting interview. Doggone it, hello? He did the microphone? I mean, let me ask you a question. I'd like to go and meet Bruno straight to face. You know, I got a danger zone with Bruno coming up in Delaware. On January 20th. And the first thing I want to know is exactly what America did to him that made him plague us with David.
Interesting question.
I'd like to know.
Yeah, less than a minute, John.
Hello?
Yeah, less than a minute.
Okay, less than a minute to go. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to wrap it up here.
I'm not out of material yet.
I know.
I prepared for an hour. I got stuck in Long Island traffic.
Well...
let's call Al Arbor.
What is he going to do, Paul?
Let's call the psychic gourmet. About hockey. let's ruin this person's show.
No, we can't do that.
We have to.
Well, listen, what we're going to do, play the outro theme song, and what we're going to do is we're going to be back with the Pro Wrestling Spotlight next week. And everybody here, have a good time today.
Yeah!
Next week from 5 till 6 p.m., Pro Wrestling Spotlight, the best of the Pro Wrestling Spotlight for the next 2 weeks. And you all have a Merry Christmas. And
Y'all
be there. And
a Happy Hanukkah.
And a Happy Hanukkah as well.
And a Happy New Year.
And a Happy New Year. We'll see you next Sunday.
Psychic Gourmet. Oh, wait. This is for the Psychic Gourmet. And I know this is the holiday season. I know that you're sitting there right by that radio station. Just waiting to switch that dial. Just waiting to turn on this radio so that you can broadcast over there. Well, is it a guy or a girl, the Psychic Gourmet?
One of these.
Well, I tell you what, for both of you Psychic Gourmet sweethearts, I'm holding up a finger just for you and see if you can, your psychic can tell you which one it is.
Well, maybe we'll return next Sunday with our program. And until next week, this is former pro wrestler John Anthony. We'll talk more wrestling next week on the Pro Wrestling Spotlight. Thanks a lot, everybody.
Former pro wrestler John Anthony.
Yep. One of my alter egos, Bob.
Boy, young Paulie Dangerously could go. Can't get a word in edgewise. It's amazing. He just takes over. But it was a good thing. Some people, he's like a Robin Williams. When he took over and everything, he just kept going and going. You didn't want him to stop. You just wanted him to keep going and keep going. Nobody liked
him. I wish we had another hour. I mean, because he showed up really late. I think he showed up 45 minutes into the broadcast. So that was it was a great ending for that show, that Christmas show at the West End Cafe in Long Island, and it was a lot of fun to just kind of reminisce and take a look back at that.
Here's the fun thing that Patreon members can do too. That was from one show. All these it made me say it. Captain Jack
will get you high
today. No. Well, I'm in Long Island, Billy Joel, you know. But all these clips were from separate shows, and you can find them all in their entirety on the Patreon page. And I think that would be a fun thing to do, because I'll tell you what, these are some hilarious. If it says Cactus Jack on the show or Paulie's Dangerously, don't miss it, because they're just two of a kind. They're unreal.
Yeah, there's 184 shows up there on our Patreon account, all the complete shows. So, I mean, if you want to really go back into the archives – $5 a month gets you in the door there. And you can hear all of this great classic historic vintage audio on the Pro Wrestling Spotlight. And I mean, I tell you, I mean, because we, you know, as we were talking about before we went on the air today, I pulled really the next 3 months of shows, and we are really going to be chock full of wonderful shows and a look back as we head into the year of 1993. And we have Jesse Ventura coming up. We have when Paul Lee was fired from WCW. We have a show that we do live from Philadelphia. We cover Andre the Giant's death. Eric Bischoff makes an appearance on the show. I think that was his first appearance. Yeah, that was from February 6, 1993. And then we make the announcement that we're going back to WEVD. We have we cover the Kerry Von Erich on our – and it's kind of ironic. I mean, our first show back at WEVD is the episode where we have to cover the suicide of Kerry Von Erich. And that – it's not going to be a pleasant one to go over, but it's newsworthy, big, big story back then. And then we have Ultimate Warrior coming up. So we have, you know, so much more to go here, Bob, as we get into a year of 1993, that really is a kind of a really groundbreaking year for the show. As I get into promoting, I get into the AAA coming in. I get into promoting the Southeast Asia Tour for IWAS, the wrestling federation I founded. So we got a really good year, even though we're only November 10th here as we tape this show. All of this stuff coming up is going to lead to a lot of entertaining podcasts for us.
Boy, you know, you're bringing me back to my PWI days, too, with just that list that you just read, because the Von Erichs as a whole throughout that whole period, it just got worse and worse and worse. To the point where it almost became so absurd, so unbelievable. I know everybody knows the story. I won't recant it here, but these fellas should all be alive today. That's all I have to say. It's just one of the big tragedies and one of the strangest happenstances. And it just, the news about them all just got worse and worse and worse. It's such a period. And another thing, you had to get very serious again and start the cover as a journalist, because it was tough stuff.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. That was a tough one. And also, you know, the news breaking over the last few weeks that a major motion picture about the Von Erich family is being produced right now. And matter of fact, MJF from AEW was actually just cast as one of the Von Erichs. I think he was casted as the fake Von Erich, Lance Von Erich, if I'm not mistaken. Serious?
I know.
So that's a story that just will not go away. One of the most really sad stories in the history of pro wrestling is that Von Erich family.
It really was.
But anyway, Bob, good one. Marsh, I hope that you did a great job with pulling these clips and picking out some really cool highlights for this this look back.
I think it was a really fun show. Just the episode, the original version, I think was kind of nice that you felt like you had to cover some of like the heavy news, but you wanted to highlight a lot of the fun that you had doing the show. Like you wanted to kind of get towards the end of the year and remember all the good.
Yeah. I liked the Christmas episodes and the year end reviews because it gave me an opportunity not just to cover what was happening that year, but also play some of my favorite moments. And these clips that we pulled for this episode, I mean, they were truly some of my favorite clips, from Paulie's Christmas party appearance to Paulie and Cactus on the phone together. And, you know, the Missy Hyatt stuff was a little out. It was very outrageous. But yeah, I mean, it gives the listeners a taste of what went on back then. And some of the stuff was really cool to listen to, even to this day. I could hear it over and over again.
Yeah, it was cracking me up. I was just actually, I pulled up a few numbers just kind of to give reference here. MJF's currently 26 years old. In that 89 interview that Paul Heyman doesn't let you off the air when you should, he was 24. He was two years younger than MJF.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Because that's what you call generational talents.
Yeah. Well, you know, he broke into wrestling, Marsh, as you know, in his teens as a photographer.
Yeah.
And, you know, the famous photo of him with the three wise men, Albano, Blassie, and the Grand Wizard. He was probably 16, 17 years old then, right? I think.
He was a youngster, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my favorite pictures is him interviewing Blassie and Kaufman together. And you can see he's like 14 or 15 or something. Like he's
yeah,
a little baby.
You know, it was kind of odd. I mean, because I was kind of, I thought I was the youngest guy to do that when I broke in and I started taking pictures at ringside at 17, 18 years old. And Paul then comes in, follows up, and he's even younger than me. And he weasels yeah. his way into the photographer role as I did when I was a kid.
Yeah. It's awesome. You know, yeah. Him and Foley are the same age too, so it's not a total shock that they'd have such good chemistry together. They were just so legitimately peers in so many ways, you know.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And you know what? You know, it would be fun to seek out the lost Paulie Dangerously, the work he did with the NWF, his hosting TV in the mid '80s. I don't even know if anybody even see those shows. There's a couple of them floating around on YouTube. He worked for IWCCW for Mario Savoldi as a booker for a while. If you can even imagine that, it didn't last long. He did amazing stuff with Eddie Gilbert and Continental, on and on. He worked everywhere. And people think of his WCW days and the WWE, and look what he's doing now, of course.
Yeah.
But that lost stuff, some of it's real gold, some of it's mint. He was always innovative and not afraid to take risks and had that wrestling history along with that youthful sense of what can I get away with? You know, what of a kind.
Yeah. You kind of brought it up in that interview or the Bob special, I call it, where it was the anniversary where he was the first time you were ever on. You brought up that old thing with him and it made him laugh.
Right.
It kind of made me wonder what all is in there. If he was laughing and almost like, oh, don't bring that up or I'll bring up other. It's kind of like,
I kind of know I was going to hit her and I have a feeling he didn't appreciate it. No, I'm telling you, because in subsequent years, when I showed up at an ECW show and Jody Styles sees me, of course, he goes, yeah. We got to get you on. You're going to be on this taping. You're going to sit next to me. You're going to do color. I said, you sure? I said, yeah. He didn't tell Paul I was going to do that. Right? He didn't tell. So I do it two or three matches, and Paul just said, you, get out of here. To me. Now, I have been early worker with ECW. He said, I don't want you on. That was it. Wow. So I don't know if he just thought I sucked or if it was the fact that I brought up the NWF on John's show. I'll never know. You know?
Interesting.
But you know what? Those tapes actually got where I did a little color during the Heyman run, actually made it out into VHS land.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It couldn't have been that bad if they put them on a DVD or whatever, or VHS or, you know. Yeah. whatever they came out, probably VHS, but what can I say? Whenever I used to go back to ECW, it was always like, hey, Bob's here, you know, and we always had a nice, I knew everybody there, and including, you know, the backstage people that worked there and stuff like that. ECW was a great bunch. John, you knew them too. I mean, they were a great bunch in Philadelphia.
They were a bit crazy.
They were. Oh, no. Don't expect a light night of entertainment with those guys.
No, that's an all-night night of entertainment, no matter what.
Even the people who sold the tickets and the beverages and stuff, they were a tight-knit group, and they were fun. They were like, referees, the ring announcer, everybody. Just great bunch.
It was a crew that will live on in wrestling history as one of the wildest bunches in the history of the business, for sure. But we're going to about wrap it up for today. I do want to thank you guys, as I do each and every week. And it was a good one. And we come back next week for more. So, gentlemen, before we do wrap it up today, I would like you to let everybody know where they could find you to find gentlemen on social media.
Yeah, you can find me at Ref Marsh on Twitter and WrestlingOnTheRocks.com for all of my side gigs. Everything should be linked up over there.
As people know, I recently changed my handle at the rapidly devolving Twitter. I hate to say that, but it really is true. Start a thread on Twitter, and by the third comment, you will have a troll. That's what it is now. It's horrifying. But anyway, if you dare venture into that jungle, it's Bob Smith PWS, and the PWS stands for Pro Wrestling Spotlight, and I'm damn proud of it. So there.
Did you get your blue check mark yet?
Not from them.
You can buy it now.
Now it's $8 a month.
Yeah, $8 a month. Yeah, yeah. Well, but you know, here's the problem. Did you hear what's happening? People are buying the $8 check mark and impersonating other people.
Yep.
They're verified, but they're not verified because nobody's verifying them. They're just paying.
It's what they say. It's a shit show.
Yeah, it's like. Well, you know,
and
what?
And Zuckerberg and Facebook and the Meta Universe or whatever, they just laid off, 11,000 people the other day?
Well, there's the thing. People think that social media makes money hand over fist. I got news. It doesn't. And there's
when you're trying to invent a whole new universe that's virtual reality, and you're putting billions of dollars into creating your own universe, which is what the metaverse is. I mean, they sell the software. You put the hat on, you know, the helmet, the goggles on, and the controllers, and you actually create your own avatar into this virtual world, and they just put billions into it. Mm-hmm. Billions and billions of dollars into it. And, you know, obviously not growing as fast as he would hope. And then there's a little downturn in the economy. So advertisers start pulling their money out. And now he lets go 12,000 people. And Twitter, with Musk, what he's doing is, I don't know what he's trying to do. I don't know what his objective is. I don't even think he does.
I can't figure it out.
All I know is that he's laid off, half the workforce there. And now, you know, anybody, if you pay $8 a month, you can get that blue check mark just by subscribing right now at twitter.com.
There it is. Be anybody.
Twitter blue.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've been trying to get John Gibbons verified on Twitter now for 3 months, and it's always an automatic decline. For what reason? I guess because they were revamping all of this and couldn't get him verified. Couldn't get him verified, and there's no person to talk to. And then they, every time you try to verify someone, when in the old way, now you just put down your credit card and you're verified. It was just kind of very frustrating, and you'd get this automatic response: you can't apply now for another 30 days. So that was frustrating because a lot of people felt that when we started John's social media, and John handles it, he's on there every day, he sends messages and videos to his followers, he couldn't get verified, and it was just frustrating as hell. And now it's like, all right, here's a credit card. If you want to get verified, you are. But that causes, as you said, impersonators, imposters. So who knows what's going to happen there? Yeah. It really is kind of a jungle right now.
But you know, as bad as Twitter is, I want to give a shout out to my wrestling Twitter friends out there. Fritz Von Mulkey, yeah. Rob Naylor, John Arizzi, Marsh, a bunch of wrestlers, Mick Foley, Mark Merrill, I just had a little conversation with. He is really turned into a fantastic motivational speaker now and doing a lot of good, a lot of legitimate good. He has got great things to say to people, and on the list goes. And there's so many, I can't even name them. I just, the guys at Wrestler Weekly who've had me on their show, fantastic. There's some really knowledgeable. There's some guys who post wrestling videos. You don't even know where they got them, stuff from the 70s and 60s. Where they get this stuff? Fantastic.
There's good stuff there, and there's a lot of a lot of craziness that's taking place over.
And you can find John Arizzi there, and Marsh too.
And you can find at John Gibbons too, at John Gibbons 05. Speaking of John, the podcast. If you are a baseball fan, if you want to hear about the inside stuff of baseball, just listen to the Gibby Show with John Gibbons and I. And we had a really good one this week. We brought on Jordan Romano, which was the closer for the Toronto Blue Jays this year, and other great guests are coming up. And so I'm having a lot of fun with that. So if you want to check it out, just go find it. It's called The Gibby Show. And my other podcast is Matt Memories at Madison Square Garden. And you can find that everywhere as well. That goes back and covers the history of pro wrestling with the WWWF from Madison Square Garden, from the first show I went to in 1991. And we do a new show there every single month. That'll wrap up this edition of John Arizzi's Pro Wrestling Spotlight. You can join the private group at facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Spotlight Podcast. Our public page to share history is facebook.com. John Arizzi's Matt Memories, there's a private group there as well. And, of course, YouTube, the channel that Marsh is doing a tremendous job at with the clips that he's editing and putting up there. That is youtube.com/ Pro Wrestling Spotlight. So please subscribe to the channel now if you can. You can follow me on Twitter at John Arezzi, Instagram at John Arezzi as well. And that's going to about wrap it up. We want to thank Bob Smith and Marsh, and thanks to our Patreon executive producers, Anthony Pyrus and Joe Holloway, and for all the patrons for your support helping with the production costs for this show. Until next week, when we relive more history with you, this is John Arezzi for the Pro Wrestling Spotlight.